Welcome to the first playoff edition. So happy to say that. Of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct.
It's what we've been waiting for all season.
I know, we don't even really have a regular season wrap up because,
I mean, what else can you say?
Yeah.
They were amazing. Less than 20 wins in a season. It's crazy. So we're going to kind of wrap up, I guess, the season a little bit, preview the first round of the playoffs, which is going to be against the Columbus Blue Jackets and John Tortorella. Kind of an interesting storyline there. You know, us media people, we love to look for storylines.
I'm just more excited about how he's going to react to the media here.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, anything. And I mean, there's some familiarity with it, so it'll be interesting. And we're going to speak with Brian Engblom.
I know.
So I'm kind of nervous.
I know. It's very cool.
My hands are sweating. I'm sweating in places I don't normally sweat.
We have to like high five each other for the planning of that
one. High five.
Yeah.
It's just kind of dumb luck, actually. High five.
High five.
So that'll be coming up in the show. And hopefully I can stop sweating.
Yeah.
I get very nervous.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking. Okay.
You know, there are people that you listen to and watch and... Mm-hmm. I still fangirl over people.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's Brian Engblom. I mean, he's famous.
He's kind of a big deal.
He's kind of a big deal.
So anyway, all right. So before we get into all of that, let's talk the last couple games of the season. The guys on the road, we weren't sure if we were going to see guys rested, full lineups. But, you know, they did bring up Pasquale, and he did play a couple times. Mm-hmm. Played very well.
I thought he did.
But really, I mean, other than a couple guys sitting out, I think we really just saw Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, they were all playing.
They really turned it up the last week.
Yeah, and John Cooper even said, hey, look, you know, we've got guys who are playing for scoring titles and personal bests, and, you know, if they want to play, they're going to play. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like it. You know, it's like, let's not take our foot off the pedal too much. You know, maybe not get into scrums in those corner battles that maybe you would do earlier in the season if you're fighting for a spot.
Yeah.
But, man, oh man, what a last week.
And the interesting thing was, between the last two games was like four day rest between what, Montreal or whatever it was.
Yeah.
All these Canadian teams.
So the last week of the season was, just in case you forgot, we played Washington on Saturday the 30th at home. That was the final home game.
Yeah.
Would have liked a little better outcome, but whatever. Gosh, they didn't even get 20 losses all season, so I can't really come down on them. But they had a back-to-back Monday and Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Ottawa, they won 5-2. Montreal, they lost 4-2.
Right.
I would have liked to have beaten Montreal just because I feel like there's a little rivalry, but not a huge one.
I'll be honest. That was the one game from the last week that I kind of was like, I don't think it's going to go well.
Right.
It's the second half of back-to-back. Nothing against Pasquale at all. I'm not slamming at all, but I just don't know. I kind of had a feeling about that one.
Well, and it's the second game of a back-to-back.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Toronto on Thursday.
Huge win.
Win 3-1 was awesome.
Huge win.
And then Boston, they were behind by 2 early on.
Yeah, it was 2 early on, and then the Lightning kind of came back, tied it up. Then went ahead by 1. It was a crazy game in that third period.
Well, they had 3 goals in the second period, and one of them was unassisted by Steven Stamkos on the penalty kill.
I know.
And it was one of those things where Braden Coburn, him and another player were by the Lightning net trying to swat away a puck in the air. And I think it was Pasternak, I think. And Braden Coburn swung at it, and it hit Pasternak in the shoulder pad, but he flung his head back like he got hit with the stick in the face, and then Coburn got the 2 minutes. But within a couple seconds of the penalty kill, Steven puts it in the back of the net, so I was just, like, so happy. And then later on in the game, there was a goal by, I'm not even going to try to say it, one of the Boston players, and within seconds... It was, I mean, fast math, 13 seconds later, Braden Coburn puts it in the back of the net, which was a beautiful shot.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody thought he was going to shoot it at the net because he was kind of right under the blue line. beautiful shot.
Yeah, it was.
It kind of took Rask off of Keel a little bit. And then Tyler gets an empty netter to put it away 6-3. And there's nothing better than, you know.
Also.
But a couple of their players were sitting.
So
we're resting.
So what?
But
I do have
our favorite Brad Marchand was resting. He got 100 points this season.
He's not a bad player.
No, he's very skilled. I just wish he cut the other stuff out. Just like Tom Wilson, very skilled player. Not a lot of people can play on a line with Alexander Ovechkin. Just cut the other extracurriculars out and just play your game.
Yeah. And a fun fact for all Lightning fans, Anthony Cirelli had 18, 19 goals this year, and four of them came against the Bruins. He scored in all four matchups. So I'm going to nickname him Bruin Killer.
Oh. Okay.
I think that's what...
I like it.
I think he deserves it.
I like it. So it was a good game. I was actually watching the game at a nail salon.
Hey,
multitasking.
There is Lightning stuff everywhere.
Well, I was
everybody.
Watching it on my phone. I was streaming it on my phone. No, the rest of them weren't watching it, but I was trying every once in a while. I was like, yeah! Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry. just watching the Lightning game.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I was had things going on Saturday, and I went to take my son to lunch at a fast food restaurant that will remain nameless, and they all of a sudden started cheering in the back behind the counter
because they were
streaming the game.
That's awesome.
And they were like, "Whoa, Lightning just tied it."
That's awesome.
And then like one of the other patrons is like, "What's the score?" And they're like, 2-2 in the second.
I mean, it's going to be like
Lightning
that
fever.
All over the place. Yeah. I will say, and we're not OPI is not a sponsor of our show. However, my friend told me about this color that her nail tech specially ordered for her because it's part of their new line.
Oh, fun.
And it is very perfect for Lightning
that
blue.
That is very Lightning blue.
So it's called Chopsticks and Stones. So if you're looking for the perfect Lightning blue, I've got it on my fingers and my toes. And I normally don't put blue on my fingers, but it's Lightning playoffs.
It's the playoffs.
So if you're looking for a good color, it's really quite matchy to our Lightning blue. So anyway.
Matchy.
That and my sequin jacket. I'm ready.
Oh my
Let's
gosh.
Let's do this thing.
You guys, she has got to take a photo of this jacket.
I'm going to wear it to game one. Oh, I'm debuting it in game one. And I kind of want to let the team know since I sit so close to the bench, like I'm not doing this to distract you. I'm doing it to distract the Blue Jackets.
Well, what did I tell you when you texted me? I said something like they could see you
from space.
The International Space Station.
Yeah.
It's very sparkly.
And you know, it's one of those mermaid sequin ones, so it's like silver and blue. So I'm going to go heavier on the silver because we're playing the Blue Jackets in the first round, and I don't want any confusion.
There won't be. I'm pretty sure nobody's going to be confused.
But game one, Wednesday night. There's going to be a pre-game concert at Curtis Hickson Park with Cage the Elephant. I actually was at Curtis Hickson Park the other night for the women's NCAA Final Four concert. And so it's already set up. It's going to be an amazing, amazing night. And then you can go from that and walk over to the game via the Riverwalk or however. Saw Greg Wolf, our friend Greg Wolf, out at the Curtis Hickson Park the other night. And we were just very proud of our Lightning team. And he's ready and I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about what an incredible season.
Ugh.
And all the records that were broken
tied.
I mean, 62 wins tying with the 95-96 Detroit Red Wings. It would have been nice to get that number 63 to not tie. But, I mean, you can't be upset with the way this season turned out.
It's literally superlative after superlative for this team. Kucherov is now with 128, the highest season points person.
Russian player.
Of a Russian-born player.
Yeah.
You know, they really love making it tongue-twistery for people.
I haven't read it yet, but I saw the other day Joe Smith on The Athletic wrote an article about that and how like his idols are kind of watching in awe. So I haven't read it yet, but I'm sure it's a great piece. So take a second to read it.
And while everybody does talk about Stamkos, who's another one, he's never had 98 points. The closest was 11-12 season when he had
97.
He had 98, but I think the interesting thing of all of this is the Lightning have three players with at least 40 goals.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I can tell you that there are about 27, 28 teams that don't even
have one.
Have one.
Yeah. No, it's quite...
it's just incredible. And That includes the Boston Bruins.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's really great. You know, Victor Hedman has been out with an upper body injury. Mm-hmm. As of the recording of this podcast, we don't have an update. I don't mm-hmm. suspect we will have an update until game one or even the morning skate of game one. We may not even know until the puck drops on game one.
It's Cooper.
so we're just hoping that, you know, he's had this time to rest. Mm-hmm. However, Eric Chernak has really stepped up. Mm-hmm. He had a goal in the Boston game. I think he had a goal earlier in the week, too.
He's played amazing.
He's fantastic. There was an article on The Athletic, a lot of shout-outs to Joe Smith, about Eric Chernak and his journey and you know, his nickname Drago. And it was really interesting. I've really been impressed by this kid. He's really stepped up. This entire team has stepped up.
And for a little bit of fun...
They stepped up, but how can... Like, it's just amazing to me that every time we see them, I feel like they get better and better.
Yeah, which is pretty amazing. This is... I think when we look at, like, and I saw this a lot, like, 62 wins, and, it'd been great if they got... I saw this a lot on social media about that loss to Montreal. I don't think people really grasp, and I don't... want to offend any newer hockey fans.
Right.
But I don't think people can grasp what the Lightning have done. Especially if you've been a fan in the last maybe 5-6 years and the Lightning made you a fan. That 95-96 Detroit Red Wing team was absolutely ridiculous. They had three of the highest paid players in the NHL at the mm-hmm. time. Mike Vernon was one of the highest paid goalies. I want to think he was like the seventh or something. The team was absolutely ridiculous.
And that was pre-salary cap.
That was pre-salary cap.
This is the first team to do it post-salary cap.
Greg Wolf actually shared something last week or the week before, written by Yahoo Sports, and it was about how this is the best hockey team that ever played.
Wow.
And he talked about the salary cap. He talked about when you talk about the 95-96 Red Wings, which I actually remember mm-hmm. watching, that they played against teams that were new. The Lightning were new. The Panthers were new.
Right.
All these teams were new.
The expansion
era. It was
not
the league. And even expansion was different back then.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that with the Vegas Golden Knights last year. That's an expansion team, and they were in the finals.
Because they weren't a true expansion team.
It's very different.
Differently now. And the article went on to say that teams in parity, there's parity in the NHL. It's built to where every team wins 30, loses 30, and the other 22 are up for grabs.
Right.
So what the Lightning have done is absolutely... It's almost hard to wrap your brain around it. So they didn't hit 63 wins. Big deal.
It would have been nice, but I'll take this. I mean, last week they won 3 of 4on the road.
Yeah.
The last week of the season wrapped up the President's Trophy and they're spotting up weeks before.
Yeah, and they're the second team in history to only to win at least 30 games on the road.
That's crazy.
In history, this is an old sport. People don't realize.
We just celebrated the 100 years.
It's an old sport.
Yeah.
And to think of all the things this team has done is mind-blowing.
Yeah. I was talking to Greg Wolf the other night and he was like showing me, I think it was on Instagram, where they were like listing all the records they broke. He's like, they needed like 3 slides to just get all of them in there.
Yeah.
I mean, when we say it's an historic season, it is.
And
it's being recognized not just here in Tampa Bay, around the league.
Yeah. Greg Wyshynski has a really great article, you guys, for ESPN. If you guys want to check it out, it actually breaks down 25 incredible feats, numbers only, for the Lightning. So go check that out. I'm not going to tweet it.
Okay.
Do it. Just search.
Just
Google.
Look for it. Yeah. No, I mean.
It's crazy. It's how many times they've won leading being down. It's how many times they've won being up by 2. It's really in-depth hockey stuff, and it's really cool to check out.
The other day on the NHL Network, they were doing their playoff preview schedule release show, whatever it was. And I think it was Mike Johnson. I may be incorrect in that, but one of the guys said that, you know, with the Lightning, they really haven't had to like come up with that win that they just had to have and, you know, have struggled through the season and blah, 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 blah. And maybe, you know, that might hurt you know what? This team was pretty intact from last season and that loss against Washington and then Washington goes on and wins the cup. That was the struggle. That was the precipice of the catalyst of this season.
That,
and, you know, maybe they haven't faced it this season, But they have been so close so many times. It's just like the Washington Capitals, who have been so close so many times. It doesn't have to happen in that one season. A lot of our guys went through that. They went through the final in Chicago and losing, and then getting close last year and losing, and then a couple seasons ago getting so close to the playoffs and then, you know, not being in control of their own destiny, and because another team won or lost, they were out, mm-hmm. and they had to watch from the sidelines. So I think all of that is going to factor into what we see come playoffs.
And it's kind of a goofy thing to say, because Reardon said after the third game here, the last game here, he said, you know what, this team, this has been a growth for us, that we've grown so much playing this team this many times in this short of amount of time space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, okay, they didn't find the adversity that other teams maybe did, but they were getting the best of every single team.
Every single night.
At home or on the road.
Yep.
Everybody wanted to use the Lightning as their measuring stick.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a quick break on Game Misconduct and come back with our guest. So excited about this. Brian Engblom from Sun Sports. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we are joined by our esteemed guest, Brian Engblom. Hello. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. So, we're really good. And we were just kind of talking off air of how we're going to be very busy in the next couple weeks, which is better than the alternative.
Yeah, that's for sure. Seeing it on both sides. And when you're sitting watching everybody play, in the playoffs, it's a very empty feeling. So I'm really glad we'll be busy, that's for sure.
Yes. And, you know, quickly, we want to kind of, because we haven't spoken with you this season, we kind of quickly want to wrap up this season with you and get your thoughts on this historic Lightning season. I mean, it really couldn't have been much better, I don't think. What is your summary of this season that we've been able to watch?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I can't think of a way it could have been better. I guess you could say 63 wins instead of 62 to set a new record. But, you know, tying the record of 62 wins is the most important part. Although, you know, they weren't gunning for it. I think, you know, at the end, winning that last game against Boston, especially when it didn't look very good in the first period. And, you know, they rested a couple of guys they're playing Eddie Pasquale, you know, who was in for Louis Domingue, who's the usual backup goaltender. So you're thinking, you know, guys are resting and you're going to play this one and see where it goes. But to watch them win that game and come from behind two goals down, it was really the epitome of the season. I mean, they found ways to win that were just incredible. I don't have all the stats in front of me, but there are so many of them that were just incredible when you take a step back and take a look. For me, one of the hidden ones, if you will, they only lost back-to-back regulation losses once all year.
That's out of 11.
In November.
Yeah.
That, to me, in this league that is so hard, that is so well-balanced, there are so many good teams, to only lose back-to-back in regulation one time all season is phenomenal. And they made it a real point to not get on losing streaks. And when you can do that and you can push yourself that hard and find ways to win and come back and win the next night, because that's the toughest thing. And that's how you miss the playoffs, is you lose a game and then you lose another one, and losing becomes a habit almost. And you lose a lot of your drive, and you lose confidence, and you lose all of that. And that leads to losing games and points. And these guys just never let that happen. It was always somebody or some line or, you know, the goaltender or a combination of, you know, three or four guys even sometimes who just pulled it out of the fire. at the last minute. And for me, I think that was the hidden thing that was really remarkable for this season.
Yeah, and speaking of the season, we had our sights on the 62 wins or the 63 wins in the last couple months to either tie the record with Detroit or overtake it. And, you know, a lot of people have been like, oh, it would have been really nice to get that 63rd win and everything. But the game is so different from back when Detroit set that record. Can you kind of quickly go into that, maybe explain it a little bit more? And how much will that matter, you know, them getting that record going into the playoffs? Like, we kind of always say it's like a clean slate. Everybody starts over. So is that kind of just like a something in their belt that they have and they'll just move forward? I mean, I don't think this team really puts much stake into records.
Yeah, none of the teams ever do. You don't go into it trying to set a record. And even at the end, they were saying, hey, it's really nice. It's something that they'll look at this summer. It's something that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And it'll be something that they'll be talked about for another generation or more because they'll be tied for the record of the winningest team ever. And the good old conversation of who's the best team ever, that's going to come up because you have the numbers and you get in the conversation. That's a tremendous thing. And they will appreciate that as they go on. The kicker is you have to win the cup.
Right.
And they know that. And the players never started this season to try and set a record. And you just play. You really do. And you're aware of it. But it's more the media and fans and everybody who keep bringing it up to you as a player and say, boy, this would be great. And, you know, you have to answer the questions all the time. And after a while, it kind of gets ad nauseum, you know, for them because, yeah, okay, we're aware of it. But, you know, take it easy here. We're just playing. And that's true. And that's the healthy attitude to have. I think Detroit had it at the same time, you know, when they did it. They had, I don't know how many Hall of Famers were on that team. And there will be some guys on this Tampa team that end up, you know, being Hall of Famers as well, too. How many, I don't know. A lot of them are still pretty young. You know, we'll see where that goes. But, yeah, the league changes all the time. And the game is different. When Detroit did it, it was a rougher league, much mm-hmm. rougher. There was a lot more fighting. There was a lot more hitting. It was more dangerous mm-hmm. in some ways. So players couldn't do some things that they do now. In other words, the game is so fast now, and they mm-hmm. zigzag and cut across the ice, and they have their head down a lot. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to pay a price very often. Every once in a while, somebody gets smoked. And it gets everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. But then everybody wonders if there's going to be a suspension or something, you know. So the players don't hit like that very much anymore. That's a big difference in the game, a big difference. And then obviously they're much faster overall from the top guy down to, the fourth line guy. There's not as big a gap in the skill set. Everybody can skate and everybody has really good skills and everybody can shoot. There was more of a gap back then. So mismatches and who you got out there against, that had a lot to do with it too. So good coaching back then could take advantage of that, whereas now it's more difficult to do that. The game now is played like football or like soccer. They're running patterns, all the time. They're running plays all the time. Coaching is phenomenal now. Mm. And the players have like a playbook in their mind about what they're doing. It's not just from a face-off. It's their breakouts. It's in the neutral zone. It's, what are we against? Are we against a 1-2-2, a 1-3-1? This is what we do. He goes there. I mean, they're running routes all the time. There was a lot more freelancing, back then in the Detroit days, and certainly, the Montreal team that won 60 games in the 70s. That was a totally different game. So, there are a lot of differences, and that's why it's so difficult to compare, what one generational great team to another.
Absolutely. And, so like I've alluded to, the slate is wiped clean now. Everybody starts at zero.
Sure.
But as stoppable as this team has been all season, they're going to be getting the best of Columbus. Columbus kind of rolled the dice at the trade deadline, too, and made some big moves. And, you know, but do you think the Lightning are still in a better position to win based on their sheer talent and cohesiveness? And I know the penalty kills for both teams are right up there. So that may knock out, you know, kind of the effectiveness of the power play a little bit.
Yeah, that's a very good possibility. In general, power play opportunities seem to go down in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They quote unquote let them play a little bit more. There's a little more leeway. Why that happens, it frustrates some people, but it just seems to be the way it is. Mm-hmm. So you can't rely on your power play as much. Having said that, if you have the threat of it, even it's in the back of it's going to be in Columbus's mind. They're just going to say we cannot. You can't take stupid penalties. You can't go out there and be afraid to play, mm-hmm. You know, and accidentally trip somebody, because it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to accidentally trip somebody. But the stupid penalties, like, you know, running a guy and having your stick up around his head, that's preventable. Reaching out, you know, way in front of you to hook a guy's arm in the offensive zone because he's getting away from you. Those are the ones that'll put you on the end of the bench. And the coach will be losing his mind because if you, you know, give up take a penalty and you give up a power play goal that wins the game for you when you were an idiot, you know, for something that's really preventable. That's the kind of stuff that drives them nuts. I mean, if you're, you know, playing a physical game and the referees don't like the hit, you know, whatever, it's going to happen. So that's why you practice your penalty kill. And the power play has been a huge weapon for them. What it does for the Lightning and for any team, especially if you get one or two early in the game, is your big guys get a chance to get out there and really handle a puck, because obviously they get more time with it. And if they have some success, even if they don't score, they get in there and they start moving it around and they get some feel, then now they're more dangerous. Now they're sort of warmed up in game action. And for me, that's sometimes, you know, that's the next most valuable thing to scoring a goal. On the power play is your guys really start feeling it, start making some plays, and you can see their blood really start pumping. And now we go, oh, geez, now the big guys are really going. Now we've really got a problem.
We're speaking with Brian Engblom from Sun Sports.
Brian, over the weekend, we heard a lot from the national talking heads, the two different sizes we've talked about. The slate is wiped clean. Lightning are to get the best of Columbus to start the playoffs. And then I keep hearing these other little birdies going, talking about the rundown of the other teams in the Eastern Conference and saying, but, you know, Tampa's going to be the favorite. Tampa's going to be the favorite. Yeah, you know, Pittsburgh, you know, gosh, they're real dangerous. But, you know, if they make it down to Tampa, Tampa's going to be the favorite. It's kind of like, which one is it? Is Tampa going to be the favorite, or is everybody, like, starting from scratch?
Well, I think the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, everybody looks at it and goes, well, so, you know, this team's going to win this series. And that's what makes sports fun, right? Everybody
picks
their favorite team, or... You know, if you're objective and you don't have a horse in the race, then you go, well, this team's going to win. They're way better. I like them. That's what, you know, that's what the fans' enjoyment is. So everybody's going to pick their favorites and their winners. The numbers speak for themselves. I mean, the Lightning blew away the rest of the league. So mm-hmm. are they favorite? Absolutely. Absolutely. it would be crazy, you know, to say that they're not. And that's where it's really different when you go into the playoffs, because the other teams have nothing to lose. And so it'll be Columbus first off. They have nothing to lose. They squeaked into the playoffs and they earned it. And boy, it was tough right down to the end. It took them the last game or two to get in there. So they're a hardened group just because of that. They've been playing playoff hockey for a month. So that's the way you can look at it. The Lightning have been, you know, cruising along, use whatever words you want, because they've been so far in front. They've been 19, 20, 21 points in front of the next team for a month. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's ridiculous when you think about it. And they still won a lot of games. Now, they haven't been in top form all the time. And when you are a team that, especially when you can look at the stats and say that team is heavily favored, then the pressure is the first two rounds of the playoffs, not the last two, because everybody loves an underdog. And if you lose in the first round, boy, you know, everything is for naught. It doesn't matter. You have a nice season. You can talk about it. And especially this, you know, like we said, the records are the records. But if you don't win at all, then it's a losing season. The Lightning have approached this season like that. it's cup or nothing. Mm-hmm. Even if they had squeaked in and been Columbus, they wouldn't have cared. It's cup or nothing. They know they have a good team. It's been created over the last 3 or 4 years, not just this year. Mm-hmm. Their core has been together since they lost in the cup finals to Chicago. Then they lost in the conference finals to Pittsburgh, who went on and won the cup. They missed the playoffs the next year because they had a lot of injuries and long-term injuries like Stamkos. And then last year they lose to Washington in the conference finals, and Washington wins the cup. So, I mean, they've been really close, and it's like enough already. You know, they know what it takes. They've had a hell of a year, and now they have to deal with that pressure. And so, like being an underdog, you have zero pressure. You just go out and play. If your goaltender gets on a roll, you get hot, you get some confidence. That's where you see the pressure start to build on the favored team. You have to be able to handle that pressure. Nobody wants to use the P word anymore. Oh, you don't pressure. No, we don't talk about that. It makes me laugh. Pressure is there all the time, mm-hmm. and it will be from the very drop of the puck. And you have to deal with it. Braden Holtby had the best line I've heard about playoff hockey maybe ever. I don't know if he got it himself or got it from coaches or what, but he said, you have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Nice. Went,
that is it. That cuts through everything about playoff hockey. You're going to be uncomfortable. You're going to be uncomfortable on a shift when they just scored on you. You're going to be uncomfortable when you just spent 45 seconds running around in your own end and your goalie just made 4 great saves. You're going to be uncomfortable when you have a losing period, when you lost the game in the series, and maybe you're down 2 games in a series, or you're tied and it's game 7 in a series. It's uncomfortable. I don't care what they say. All the positive speak in the world is a bunch of junk. It's pressure. Handle the pressure or don't. And if you can't, you lose.
I think the being comfortable with uncomfortable also needs to be told to the fans, too, because when you're sitting there watching it, I'll need to remind myself when I'm sitting there watching it, and maybe we're down by one, just be comfortable. Just listen to Braden Holtby.
No,
you know, I think that's good advice.
We'll never listen to that. And God love all of you for it. Yeah, that's the way it is. You know, that's what creates the environment. That's home ice advantage. Mm-hmm. But it also can work against you, too, because you can feel it. You know, you can feel when a whole building is nervous. Mm-hmm. You can feel it, right? You think the players can't? Of course they can. You know, you're human beings. It's literally in the air. And that's why when there's so much on the line, I don't care, you know, if it's March Madness in basketball, and that's one of the ultimates, right? Because it's always a one-game shot.
Yeah.
And here in hockey, of course, you have 7 games. You get down to that seventh game, it's no different. It's no different than a Super Bowl game or a playoff game in football, whatever, when it's a one-game shot. You have 4 chances, but ultimately it comes down to those minute details and those couple of minutes in every game that make the difference. And so there you go, getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. It's awesome. It's great. It's a great – I still think – and winning the Stanley Cup – for me still is the hardest trophy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
16 wins. You have to have 16 wins. And if you watch and tell you right now, when they pan the benches at the beginning of, the playoffs and they're looking at players' faces, just remember what they look like. And then when they get to, you know, game 5 or 6 or 7 in the Stanley Cup finals, whichever 2 teams are still standing, take a look at those same faces and how gaunt and gray and yellow and, you know, stitches and black and blue. And they look so fatigued, like they're going to fall over sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's the best feeling in the world.
All right. You brought up a great point about pressure, and which kind of leads to our next question is about Steven Stamkos. This guy has faced pressure pretty much since I believe, like I read a story years ago, you know, since he was like 13, he's kind of been under a lot of pressure. He's obviously the captain. He's a leader. He's been a leader before he even wore the C on his sweater here. The way that he stepped up in the last week or so, maybe even past a little over the last week of the season, that kind of boosts the guys a little bit, doesn't it? When your captain is somehow at game, you know, 76 has figured out how to turn it on even more and say, this is it. We're done. Like you said, this has been their focus since the season began. Steven Stamkos is by example saying, this is what we're here for. This is what we played for. And I will show you that we can score shorthanded and power play in just 5-on-5 goals.
Steven is one of the best captains in the league. There's no doubt. You know, we get a chance to see him every day and talk to him every day and just watch him. And there's a lot to be learned just by watching a person every day, you know, that plays on a team. And he is absolutely a fabulous leader. He's a terrific captain. He's learned a lot along the way. And that's what it's about. It's experience. If you're lucky, you play with some great players. And he always says, you know, I've learned a lot from the players and coaches that I've had along the way. And that's a necessity. But you have to have that certain personality that makes you a captain, that makes you a leader. And he's always been that guy. And he has had, like, this is my fourth year with the Lightning, covering them every day. And this is the best year that I've ever seen him play, for sure.
Incredible.
He's had a great year, 45 goals and 98 points. The 98 points is a new record for him. I was really hoping he'd get to 100.
Yeah.
That's a big number and something that he can always have, you know, in his back pocket. And he's not going to get many chances because the league is so tough. But still, 98 points, 97 was his high. So, you know, he got to say, you know, I pushed that number up again, 45 goals. You know, there were people at the end of last year and beginning of this year, and when he was getting injured a couple of years ago, saying, well, boy, it doesn't seem like he has very much left. Boy, what a, you know, that was a wrong statement by a country mile. And he just, everything about him, really. The way he handles himself, the way he talks to the media, the way when he walks into the room, he knows how to do that. It's something that good coaches do. They have a demeanor about them that you can feel. And then you have to back it up. You have to get out there and you have to produce. He had a bit of a slow start at the beginning of the year in October, maybe halfway into November. But really after that, and some of that had to do with, he started off the year playing with Kucherov, and they played together a lot last year, a lot. Mm-hmm. And then it just, for whatever reasons, it wasn't working as well. And John Cooper didn't like what he saw, like team-wise, and that's his job. So he put him with Braden Point, and it never changed after that. So I think there was that time where I think Steven's going, okay, now who am I going to get chemistry with here? Mm-hmm. So, and he never said anything about it. This is me. This is my opinion. This is what it looked like from afar, watching him every day. And then he just got going, you know, and it didn't matter who he was playing with. So I think for me, from the end of November really on, he has been absolutely terrific. And his numbers from like Christmas on and January on just really took off. I mean, he is one determined guy that he was just going to take the team and he was going to set the tone. He started skating, you know, all over the ice. What was happening, I think, with Cooch is he seemed so concerned or concentrating too much, I guess, on the offensive blue line in. Like, I'm going to get open, Cooch and I are going to do this, and we're, you know, whatever. The rest of his game just sort of disappeared. Well, when they split him up, he started, you know, everything. He was skating the daylight, coming out of his zone, had the puck a lot on his stick, was attacking with speed, all of that. So his game really rounded out. And then John Cooper used him in faceoffs on the penalty kill, which he hasn't done in a few years. Mm-hmm. And he really liked the responsibility. He's good on faceoffs. So he'd have to stay out, of course, you know, to kill some of the penalty. If they won it and got it down the ice, he would come to the box and change. But if you don't win it cleanly and you don't do that, you got to stay out, kill the penalty, right? Mm-hmm. So it really involves him in every aspect of the game because, of course, he's on the power play. And that's where he got to play, of course, with Kucherov all the time. So it's not like he never got to play with Kucherov. And they have that obvious chemistry and they want to play with each other. So it all worked out really well. But I think the overlooked fact was Steven being a big part of the penalty kill. And that was a really smart play by John Cooper because it did. It rounded out his game, made him feel important and responsible for every aspect of the game. And he played like it.
Well, Mr. Engblom, we really appreciate you joining us today. I can't believe it's only been 4 years that you've been covering this team. I feel like it's been so much longer. I love your insights. I always feel like I learn something when you're covering a game. And we just really thank you for making time for us, because we know you're going to be very busy in the next 3 months. Hope you're getting some sleep to ramp up for the playoffs.
Once it starts, boy, you get on that treadmill and you just go like hell until it's over. And I hope we're on it for a really long time.
Thanks. We do too.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and wrap up this first playoff edition of Game Misconduct when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
All right, so we haven't even talked about Nikita Kucherov capturing the Art Ross Trophy. Yay! Congratulations! Woo! And he really doesn't care about it unless they win the cup. So
right.
He's not going to be celebrating that much.
And I don't think that's the only thing he's going to win,
honestly. Oh, no. This is just the beginning of his career.
I think he's probably going to take home the Hart Trophy this year. The interesting one for me is if Kucherov wins the Vezina, that would be very interesting. Let's just give him everything.
Just give him all of the hardware.
Just let him win everything. If Vasilevsky wins, how he fares in the Vezina finalists.
Yeah, because they vote on these awards before, voting is done.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen during the playoffs. So no matter what happens in the playoffs,
it doesn't really matter.
Right.
But I'm interested to see if he wins the Vezina. I think he had an outstanding year, especially at the fact that he missed as many games as he did. The November-December period right there. To still wind up being the win leader is... Now, of course, he plays on a very good hockey club.
No, absolutely.
Still, he's, he's lights out, this guy.
Yeah, he's just one of the many pieces that we have. Because, speaking with Brian Engblom, we talked about Stamkos, Kucherov. We really didn't even get into the rest of the team, which it is a team effort. Like, no matter who has the puck at any given moment, they have a chance to put it in the back of the opponent's net.
Yeah, we did talk about in the very first segment that we have three players that scored at least 40 goals.
Right.
And Braden Point is that third player that reached at least 40 goals this season. That's incredible. That's incredible. And we're not even, it's almost like everybody forgot about Braden Point a little bit. And it's like, still scoring goals over there. It's just, Kucherov is kind of listen, and I get it. He's, we're going to be hearing a lot about Ovechkin winning for the eighth time, the goals, highest,
most leading, goals in a season.
Most goal in a season for the eighth, leading the league
for
the eighth time.
Rocket Richard.
Yeah. And that is incredible.
That's great.
That's great.
But Nikita Kucherov, your fellow Russian, he has, he helps on assists.
And it all comes down to this. How many, if you're going to look at an assist and look at an overall game, obviously Kucherov has Ovechkin beat. But he does.
Well, the Art Ross to me, when it goes to a winger or a center or whatever, means that they're a more well-rounded player.
Yeah,
and that's me throwing shade. But that to me shows a more well-rounded player and more of a player, that I would want to have on my team.
Well, it goes back to even Steven Stamkos.
Yeah.
Early in his career, they kept saying, he's a sniper. He's a sniper. He's a sniper. Yeah, he's still a sniper. But he's also a leader. He plays on the pen. He plays on spec. Brian
Engblom.
He can
set up assists.
Talked about he's one of the best captains in the game. Mm-hmm. Everything he does, he's not just that kid who can score goals anymore. He has evolved.
He's a man now.
He's a big boy.
We're so used to seeing him, as this 18-year-old kid
he's
that comes into
anymore.
The league. He's not. He's quite an elder statesman of the game now.
And his game is so mature and so calm.
He reminds me a lot of Jonathan Taves.
Yeah.
Just that calm demeanor.
Yeah.
You don't really see, highs, lows. It's just this even-keeled, even on the ice, like when there's a dispute about penalties or a call. Like, he's not losing his cool. He's just going to have a conversation with people about
it. Yeah, he's so cool. And the one thing that Engblom did not bring up that I know you know firsthand is, especially where you sit, because you sit close to the ice, is that when you get to see these teams come in and you see, you know, Patrick Kane, he stands out on the ice.
Yeah.
Ovechkin stands out.
Yeah.
Sid Crosby stands out. It's hard for us because we're so used to seeing it, but my goodness, Steven Stamkos stands out on that ice.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than Kucherov even. And I don't know if it's the way he carries himself or what it is, but I have absolutely no problem wherever I am being able to go, that's Steven Stamkos.
Well, the big numbers on the back.
Well, no. I mean, he just
the way he carries
the
himself.
The way he skates, the way he, he's easy to point out.
Yeah. Well.
Generational.
Oh, wow. Big word.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, Engblom said it, but
no,
if you read my notes, I actually.
I know.
I did. I
know. So, yeah, I just. What else can you say about? I feel like we've been doing this all season. What else can you say about this team? What else can you say?
They're incredible. This is a once. Our old friend Alexis Boucher wrote on her personal Facebook, wrote a thing that this is the best Lightning team I have ever seen. This is the best hockey team most people will ever see or have ever seen. We don't know. They could, you know, maybe hit 63 wins next year.
You don't know what next year
will
hold. We don't
know. But up until this point, this is one of the best hockey players anybody has, or hockey teams anybody has ever seen.
Yeah, so well-rounded. Everybody chips in. And, you know, I've said this before, you know, because I sit close to the bench and close to the ice, other seasons you see if they get down a goal early or a couple goals early, you could feel the nervous energy, you know, kind of what Brian was speaking about, you know, the nervous energy that they've got to come from behind. This season, there was none of that.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like, okay, then we're going to go out and score on this next shift. It was more of, instead of nerves, it was confidence. It was like, all right, you want to put a puck in our net? Okay. Well, we're coming for you. We're going to put six in yours, you know? So it's just a different feel. And, you know, get comfortable with being uncomfortable, Lightning fans.
I love that.
I do, too. I'm just, I was going to say I was going to get a tattoo of it on my arm.
I don't know if you'll do that.
I don't. But maybe I'll write on my arm in Sharpie marker before every game so I can just look down at it and be like, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So let's talk about the playoffs.
Okay.
Because they are starting Wednesday in Tampa Bay, home ice advantage. Woohoo.
Throughout the entire playoffs. Throughout, friends. So even when they get to the Stanley Cup final, they will have home ice.
Yes. So get ready. The pre-sale tickets went really fast.
Really fast.
So
somebody at work that said, hey, do you have like the backdoor way of getting any tickets? I'm like, there are no tickets. And they're like, but tickets just went on sale. I'm like, they don't have any.
They gone. And we got to pay for ours just like everybody else. So, I'm sure they're going to be showing the game. They show all the games on the side of the parking garage.
Yeah,
so
listen,
it's going to be a party in downtown.
It's going to be a party anywhere.
Anywhere.
And not just downtown.
Right.
I mean,
at the fast food restaurant you were at the other day when they were streaming the game in the back and everybody's asking what the score is.
Yeah. Downtown St. Pete's all for the Lightning, the beaches, the Clearwater, Tampa Bay.
You're starting to see the signs on the sides of the building. The town's going to be painted blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And some of them never even went away from last season.
I was going to say, and some of them are still up there.
Yeah.
We see you, SunTrust Building.
Yeah, SunTrust Building. I think the Hard Rock still had theirs up. It's going to be big. So playoff start in Tampa, Wednesday, April 10th. There's going to be a concert at Curtis Dixon Park starting at 5:15. You don't need a ticket for entry, so even if you don't have a ticket to the game, you can still go to this concert. It's Cage the Elephant. They're an alternative band. Really fun. Hopefully it won't be the first and the last concert that we have, but it'll be really awesome. A great way to kick off the playoff season. I think it's super fun. And then you can, you know, walk the river walk to go to the arena and then go inside. Give yourself plenty of time.
Obviously.
You're not going to want to miss the pregame, you know, because they up the ante for the pregame. And I feel like in the first round, they give you a little hint. here's the pregame presentation. Mm-hmm. And every series, they like add another thing. They'll add lasers. They'll add lights. They'll add, you know, so John Franzone and the rest of the team at Amalie Arena really do a nice job with the on-ice projections and all this stuff. So you're not going to want to be late to the game. So give yourself plenty of time. Find that, you know, maybe to find good parking, you got to walk a little further. Get that exercise in, because there is all that construction still going on in downtown. So just plan ahead.
And to think about this, how the Lightning are so good about their entertainment. They've had since like March 18th, since they went to like know, like, hey guys, we've had a long time to plan this.
Oh, they've had plenty of
this
time to plan.
This is going, I think, going to be like the showstopper of all sporting in arena showstoppers.
Yeah. So so that's game one.
Oh, boy.
Game two, Friday, April 12th at Tampa. Game three, Tampa at Columbus, Sunday, April 14th. Game four, Tuesday, April 16th at Columbus. And then, if needed, game five, April 19th, Easter weekend at Tampa. If needed, game six, Sunday, April 21st.
Sunday. That's Easter. Hey, guys, we have plans. Can you get this wrapped up before then for us? Thanks.
Sunday, April 21st, Tampa at Columbus. And then, if needed, game seven, Tuesday, April 23rd, Columbus at Tampa. You know, all those last three games, TBD, but it looks like most start times are 7 p.m.
Yeah.
For the ones that are, for sure, games one through four.
Yeah. We'll see what happens on Easter Sunday.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a game. If game five is needed, it's Good Friday. You're of the Catholic religion.
I'm going to say this, and I know you understand where I'm going with this. Churches, especially if you're Catholic, have very, very packed on Easter Sunday. We don't need any more packedness of everybody trying to pray to the hockey gods for the Lightning to win. So let's just wrap it up before then.
Okay. All right.
Parking's crazy at church on Easter Sunday.
Oh, maybe. Okay. We don't talk about religion on this show, but
it's Easter. It's okay.
I'm Catholic. So, you know, and I try to go to church every week. I try.
You do.
But I don't go to church on Christmas or Easter.
Hey, I get it.
Because everybody, like, it's the church of the big two, I like to call it. Because everybody goes to church those days. Yep. I go to church the days that nobody else goes. Because I don't like to have to search for parking. I know it's terrible.
You're doing Holy Day of
God. I'm not getting...
It's All Saints Day. Got to go to church and make up. Make up for Christmas.
Make up for that Christmas that I missed, but I'm going to get struck down right now.
The Assumption's coming. Got to go to church.
But, yeah, so... but, you know, if there is a game on Easter, I may try to go and, you know, do my little prayer. Be like, hey, one up to Jesus, how you doing?
Let's... Get some holy water while you're there. Take it to the arena.
I'm just going to go down the aisles of the arena and just get everybody with holy water.
That's
go down the
idea.
Bench.
Yeah,
you
the
know,
bench.
Here you go. Here you go. Yeah. No, that's a little ridiculous. But can you imagine me in my sequin jacket and my blue nails and my holy water?
You would look like a crazy.
I would.
Like a bona fide insane person that needs to be committed.
If I end up doing that, please have me committed.
I'm going to text the arena security, and I'm going to say,
if she has a canister of holy water, just don't make sure she doesn't move from her seat.
Jeez.
Oh my God. Okay, I think we've had enough. It's just this anticipation now.
I know, and we're not going to talk to our friends out there in TBL Power Play Land until after game what, two, three?
Yeah.
Three. Oh my gosh, you guys.
It's getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, and I'm having a really hard time doing that. I'm wringing my hands right now.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase. Do you think they're going to be Columbus?
I don't know.
Oh, you are so silly.
Well,
I'm not saying you're silly. I'm just saying because I know how like superstitious you are and you don't want to say anything.
I know. But, okay, how can I say this without sounding crazy? What Brian Engblom said makes a lot of sense to me. The pressure is not in rounds three and four. The pressure is in rounds one and two because they feel, you know, the world, the hockey world is under the impression that the Lightning are going to win rounds one and two. Mm-hmm. And it's like a lock. It's so that's the world around the team. But I feel like the team, they don't look ahead. They haven't looked ahead all season. They just take one game as it comes. And they look to win every game that they play when they step on the ice. I mean, they don't even have 20 losses this season. So I feel like this team has done a really good job at shutting out the rest of the world and just going and doing their jobs and playing hockey. So that gives me some solace. But, you know, the most dangerous teams are the teams that don't have anything to lose.
Yeah.
And John Tortorella is a fantastic coach.
Yep.
I mean, he took our Lightning team to their first Stanley Cup win. So, you know.
I'm interested to see what happens to the Columbus and Carolina from the standpoint of how hard they had to fight.
Right.
As Brian alluded to,
are they tired?
The last month has been playoff hockey for Columbus and Carolina, who is the Cinderella team.
Yeah, that was that's kind of a great story.
That is a great story. And it's a very cool story. And I know at one point the Lightning and them were, you know,
Rivals.
Yeah. Along with the Capitals, which I believe is reignited.
We don't like them.
Yeah. But, you know, you have to wonder how much do they have left? As hard
the
as
Columbus
they,
and Columbus, the Carolinas.
How much do they have left? Because the Lightning, game 82 in Boston, down to nothing, we're like...
We got stuff left.
Hey, hold my water bottle, eh?
And hold then, my stick. I'm
hold
going
my
to...
stick.
Dude, the one play where it was like he kicked it. It was like a soccer game, and he kicked it, and he got the assist. Like, come on.
It's just, they're so darn good.
Yeah.
And they're so well coached, and they're so...
calm.
Calm, and they're such in great shape. I feel that the Lightning, as crazy as this is, I think their skill, their coaching, the makeup of the team, their mental game, everything, it's been... so evenly keeled all season.
It's kind of been unshakable. Yeah.
And I think there's a big difference between a team that's just been so... Now, going back to 95-96 with that Red Wing team, they did lose to Colorado, who went on to win the Stanley Cup that year. They were almost like played... with a little bit of a, I don't know.
Attitude, chip on their shoulder.
Ego.
Right.
And Colorado was very, very, very hungry.
Yeah.
I think you have a very good hockey team in the Lightning, one of the greatest, literally one of the greatest of all times, who's hungry. And they're not going to settle. And they're not going to let their foot off the pedal. They're going to go 100% every minute of this series.
They've been the bridesmaid too many times.
They're done.
Yeah.
They're done with it.
Yeah. They're just going to finish it.
Yeah.
And we're finished with this week's episode.
Yep.
How you like that?
That was good.
Thanks. All right. We're going to go for this week. But don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And, you know, to that Oregon guy who, you know... wasn't necessarily if you want to know what we're talking about, follow Matt Salmon on Twitter.
Yeah, at
Salmon says. We'll show you how good our old barn is in the playoffs.
And another thing, it's very simple. It's up the stairs and go to the left.
Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next week on Game Is Conduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.